received yesterday when I came home from the museum. My little package was next to my door, and I had forgotten. I had bought this book all the way from New Zealand called A Passage of Yellow Red Birds. It's by Robin Peace, P-E-A-C-E. And you know, I don't know if I did the cast here or if I did it over on Anchor. I mean, over on Lemur. But I found this book because I was searching for a way of looking at the Yellow Vest movement in a peaceful way. And I did a search for yellow peace bird or something like that. I don't remember how I came across this now. But this title of this book came up, and so I started looking at it, and it was like, I have to have this book. And of course I couldn't get it, right? I couldn't find it in my library system. I couldn't find it even in my academic library systems. So I thought, well, I'm going to go for purchasing it because I really wanted to read it. And it's a little tiny book, and it's by Makaro Press. It's a Japanese press, it looks like. And Makaro Press in New Zealand. It was published in 2018. The cover image, which I'll put here, is Sculpture Study. Broaching Stevens Island Wren by Bing Daw, B-I-N-G-D-A-W-E. I love the cover design. So of course I opened it up and I saw this very short poem. It's the first thing I opened to on page 73. And it was, of course, after driving home in the dark, watching our full snow moon come up last night through the mist and through the clouds, behind the big, dark, black clouds. And this is the first poem I saw when I opened this book. So I'm going to read this now. It's called New Silence. New. N-E-W, silence. There are gaps in my days now, whole unsequenced hours, where the words shut their mouths and refuse to speak. That's the whole poem. It was so powerful. New silence. There are gaps in my days now, whole unsequenced hours, where the words shut their mouths and refuse to speak. So then I looked through the book this morning and I found Goya's dog. Well, there's many poems in here. The first two poems, let me go through this a little bit. The first two poems mentioned under the title, the heading title of Yellow. So she's organized the book by yellow and red because the book, of course, is called A Passage of Yellow Red Birds. So under Yellow, the first two poems are Migration Stories 1 and Migration Stories 2. I may read those at another time. But the next story that, or the poem that I came about by just browsing this morning, was Goya's dog. About suffering, they are never wrong, the dogs. How well they understand the hope of death. How it takes place while soft airs drift through the copse or the behind the wall. How, when the humans are patiently, cynically waiting for permission to kill, there always must be children who will whistle a dog running to a pond at the edge of the wood. They never see the moment of martyrdom that must run its course. In the backdrop, some great sweep of ochre overwhelms the lifted head, and the torturing flea is scratched from behind, out of sight. In Goya's dog, for instance, how everything points alertly toward the disaster. The dog may have heard the descent, the forsaken cry, and for him, it was as clear as a whine. The sun shines on the crumbling ochre wall and catches in the fur of the dog's ear as it muzzles the danger. And the soldiers, who saw and heard nothing, had somewhere to get to and trod uncalmly on it. And of course, Maggie had to make her presence known here, as she so often does in my casts, wagging her tail while she looks out the window. Let me read this again, Goya's dog. Wow, the one on the opposite page, called Uzi for Kids, has to do with Palestinian flowers and stuff. Wow. This is some amazing poetry. Okay, Goya's dog. No, Maggie, you're not going to make your presence now. Come here. Come have a little sit. You need some loves. You're trying to tell me you want to go outside? Oh, I see. There's your friend across the street on the other yard. Her friend, silver tabby. I call her the silver tabby because she's a beautiful, beautiful light gray. That silver tabby friend is over across the street? Holy mackerel, what are you going to do? She's out playing in the grass and you're stuck in here in the studio space, trying to get through all the papers that are sitting here on the cabinet. Okay, so let me see if I can read this again before we end the cast. Goya's dog. About suffering, they are never wrong. The dogs, how well they understand the hope of death, how it takes place, while soft airs drift through the copse. I wonder if that's supposed to be corpse. No, through the copse. Oh, Maggie, I don't know if I'm going to get through this again. What is it? Come here. You want to be... Come here. You can be here. She's purring. What is it? What is it? What is it? Oh, I see. That cat was trying to find a place to do its business over there. Yeah, it's better to do it in that yard than in my yard. See, kitties go where there are no other kitties. I'm glad to have my kitties. Okay, Maggie, what are you doing? This is getting to be too long of a cast now. Maybe I'll have to edit this. I don't know if I can. About suffering. Okay, Goya's dog. Jeez, I'm not even going to do this one. Yes, I am. Just leave it be. I'm a little frustrated. Can you tell? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like having a child, this cat, sometimes. You know, it's like, leave me be. Goya's dog. About suffering, they are never wrong, the dogs. How well they understand the hope of death, how it takes place while soft airs drift through the copse or behind the walls. How, when the humans are patiently, cynically waiting for permission to kill, there always must be children who will whistle a dog running to a pond at the edge of the wood. They never see the moment of martyrdom that must run its course. In the backdrop, some great sweep of ochre overwhelms the lifted head, and the torturing flea is scratched from behind, out of sight. In Goya's dog, for instance, how everything points alertly toward the disaster. The dog may have heard the descent, the forsaken cry, and for him, it was as clear as a wine. The sun shines on the crumbling ochre wall and catches in the fur of the dog's ear as it muzzles the danger. And the soldiers, who saw and heard nothing, had somewhere to get to and trod uncalmly on it. I think I'll try to find the picture of that and put it on here. We'll see how this cast sounds. Since the cast was already going too long, I'm going to add a couple of thoughts. One, the word is cops.
Cops.
A small group of trees. Synonyms: thicket, grove, wood, coppice, stand, clump. So, that makes a lot more sense to me now. I had not heard that word, actually, I don't think. Or if I had, I had forgotten it. Which is entirely possible these days. Now, the dog, Goya's dog. It's a painting by the Spanish artist Francisco Goya. It's now in the Museo del Prado in Madrid. It shows the head of a dog gazing upwards. The dog itself is almost lost in the vastness of the rest of the image, which is empty except for a dark sloping area near the bottom of the picture. An unidentifiable mass, which you move, which conceals the animal's body. The dog is one of Goya's black paintings, which he painted directly onto the walls of his house sometime between 1819 and 1823, when he was in his mid-70s, living alone and suffering from acute mental and physical distress. He did not intend the paintings for public exhibition, and they were not removed from the house until 50 years after Goya had left. That's amazing. So yeah, I thought I would add that. Cheers.